no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manoop.
And there he is joining us in the bottom of left of the corner, TSN senior hockey writer, a good friend of Illegal Curve, going back to his days with, it was the Philly Daily News, right, Frank?
It was, yeah. It's been way too long, guys.
Nice to see you, buddy. How are things?
Really good here. What's going on with you guys?
Hey, living the dream. We're in lockdown still in Winnipeg. So, you know, we got nothing but time to talk about the hockey and talk about the Jets and the Oilers. And obviously, that's what brought you on. We sort of survived this, you know, at least from my perspective, the last, you know, 8, 10, 12 games of this regular season really became a struggle for a lot of these teams where the playoffs were assured. So it's time to get going with the playoffs. And I know that I'm excited for that. And I assume the same from your perspective.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I understand why some teams sort of hit the, I don't know if you want to call it dog days of the season, but it, when your spot is clinched and you know you really can't move too far, you know, up or down in the standings, you know, there's not a lot to play for. And I look at a team like the Jets. I thought, you know, at a certain point this year, you could have made the argument we're the best team in the North Division coming down the stretch. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Injuries played a big part, but I'm curious if they can find a way to flip the switch.
Well, and that's, I guess, where we'll start. You know, Frank, obviously, they have the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, and the Oilers, you know, simply dominated the Winnipeg Jets in the regular season. The numbers were as one-sided gets, you know, in terms of, you know, NHL competition. So from your perspective, what you've seen of the Jets, you know, how do they sort of flip that narrative? How do they flip that switch so that, you know Connor McDavid is going to eat, but how do you make sure it's not an all-you-can-eat buffet for the world's best player?
You know, as crazy as this sounds, you know, obviously you need to defend well against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. That's a given. But I kind of think you have to push that aside. And I know that sounds nuts to say. You've got to win the 35 minutes that Connor McDavid isn't on the ice. That's really, to me, is the difference in this series. The Jets have a clear advantage in depth, and you need to play to your strength. And I'll go to the wily old veteran in Ken Hitchcock. He joined us on our podcast, the DFO Rundown, a couple weeks back, and he was still a consultant for the Oilers. And he was talking about Edmonton and their playoff success. And he said, what wins in the Stanley Cup playoffs is the 1-4-9 ratio. And I said, like, I've been around hockey a long time. What the heck is that? And he said, it's one goalie, four defensemen, and nine forwards. You have to get your team to the point where you're comfortable throwing any one of those players on the ice at any given time in a series, and they're going to win the battle. Now, here's the truth about the Edmonton Oilers. They don't have that. They don't have nine forwards that they can throw over the bench and be confident that they're going to win in any situation at any time. The Jets do. Certainly when they're healthy, they do. I think they've got the best top six in the North. The question is, can they take advantage of all of that and outscore whatever Connor McDavid and the Oilers do? So, yes, they're going to get their points. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl had 14 points in their four-game series against the Chicago Blackhawks and still lost. Mm-hmm. So put that aside and focus on what you do have instead of what you don't.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Frank. And the question I wanted to ask you was, how big of a factor do you think that Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be in the series from your perspective? Because we know, you know, Patrick Laine's season, you know, went off the rails really quickly under John Tortorella, but, you know, Dubois has struggled big time, no points in his last, I forget if it's 9 games or 10 games. He's really struggling offensively. Like, how big of a key is he versus, you know, some of the other players that we know have to be really good offensively, like Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler?
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, he's been on a milk carton. Have you ever seen a trade where two teams lost? Usually one wins, one loses, or they both win. They both seem to be losing at this point. I don't know that that's possible. It has been so strange. And it's funny because the Jets were kind of taking it between the eyes for a little while to start. Roslovic jumps out to this point per game start in his hometown with the Blue Jackets. Line A scores early, and you're thinking, Dubois didn't even get on the ice yet, and they're already in the hole. And then at a certain point, Pierre-Luc got his game going, and those guys started to fall off, and then now the wheels fell off of everyone, and you're like, holy smokes, how does this happen? But to answer your question specifically, that's why he's here. It was to change the look of this group and have maybe the best 1-2 punch. How many teams can legitimately look at their roster and say, we have two number one centers. They happen to be facing a team in the Oilers that can also say that if McDavid and Draisaitl are on separate lines. But the answer is not very many. And Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't played to that. But this has been such a weird year. Little time to practice, little time off, little time to get adjusted, little time to spend time with your teammates in an environment that's fun and relaxing. And there's nothing more fun than playoff hockey. So my guess is that you'll see him show up, but the question is, how big of an impact will he be?
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Frank Saravelli. You know Frank, of course, as the TSN senior hockey writer, talking about the Jets and Oilers and the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
You know, Frank, we have to talk about Mike Smith, even though we generally focus on the Winnipeg Jets here on this show. But Mike Smith, you know, you wrote about him 2 days ago. He's been such a good story on TSN. You had called him the comeback player of the year. How good a story is this for a guy who's been in hockey as long as he has?
It's insane. I mean, Mike Smith was essentially left for dead last year when the playoffs ended. Who's going to possibly re-sign Mike Smith, let alone come back to the Edmonton Oilers? Game one start in the bubble. Oilers are the five seed. They have the home ice advantage, if you will, in their friendly confines in Edmonton, and they get booted. And Mike Smith played a big role in that. Game one, 26 minutes, 5 goals against. He sits on the bench. Mikko Koskinen comes in and gives you sterling 860 goaltending. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that the Oilers would go back into this season with the same exact tandem. They tried on Jacob Markstrom. They didn't get him. And so they took that $6 million and they said, we're going to spend that on Tyson Barrie at 3.75. We're going to spend that on Kyle Turris at 1.65. And we're going to spend that on Mike Smith at 1.5. That's a pretty good way to spend $6 million when you end up with the highest scoring defenseman in the league and a goaltender who comes out and saves your season. You got to remember, the Oilers were 6-7 before Mike Smith made his first start of the year. He started the year on LTIR. And here's this 38, soon-to-be 39-year-old, where confidence has waned in the market. The Oilers fans are spewing venom because they re-signed him. And he comes in and has the best season in his last 11 and puts this team right squarely where they needed to be. Since Mike Smith entered the crease, the Oilers have the third-best record in terms of points percentage in the NHL. A fantastic story, a guy who works hard, is liked by his teammates, has a competitive fire that rages, and also changed his game a little bit. You know, I think it was best described by Kevin Woodley, the In Goal magazine guru, saying that Mike Smith's flops per game were over 60 were down. Like, he just looks more smooth. He looks more flexible. And obviously, he's a guy that competes and has an ability shown from his Calgary days and Arizona as well to steal a series.
You know, Frank, obviously, this year the teams are sort of unprecedented in how familiar they are with one another. Mm-hmm. Normally, when it's been in division, it's been, you know, 5 games or maybe 6 games they've played against each other. You know, when game one between the Jets and the Oilers happened, that'll be the 10th game. From the coaching perspective, from Dave Tippett's perspective and Paul Maurice's perspective, you're obviously not going to scrap everything you've done and wipe the whiteboard clean. But how important are sort of tweaks and small alterations going to be when it comes to the chess match and the coaching chess match of these series? And that this isn't specific to the Jets and the Oilers. This can be really considered on the entire macro Stanley Cup playoff level.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be enormous, because I think by now you would at least have the understanding of what does and doesn't work. And, you know, you've seen, if you're Connor McDavid, you've seen a lot of Adam Lowry or whatever the specific individual matchup in that series is. Mm-hmm. And I would think that, you know, not only is it a chance to, you know, find out what does and doesn't work, but with these Canadian teams specifically, there was a period for experiment and to see, you know, once these seeds were kind of locked in and the Leafs play the Habs 4 times in 13 days, well, like, you'd at least get a better idea of the rest of what you might want to do. And I'm sure that there were coaches, to be quite honest, over the last number of weeks that kept a few things up their sleeve. You know, what new wrinkle can I throw at this team? At a certain point, hockey is hockey and there are no tricks or secrets, but I think that there's little things that these coaches have been thinking of a long time. I'm not going to tip my hand. Here's what I'm going to come out in game one and try and do. And we'll see if the other team can match that.
Frank, we have to ask you about the Habs and the Leafs, you know, first playoff meeting since 1979, which is just, you know, incredible. And the Leafs obviously are the heavy favorite here, and they were very successful against the Habs during the regular season. Like, what is your kind of assessment of this series? Like, I know a lot of people are picking to win the Leafs to win the series in some in four games, others in five games. I think, you know, I haven't seen anybody say, you know, Leafs in seven. I certainly haven't seen a lot of people taking the Habs, but how big of a factor do you think, you know, having a healthy Brendan Gallagher, having a healthy Carey Price, like, does that, you know, move the needle enough, or do you still think, you know, the Leafs are going to take this series and whether it's, you know, five games, six games?
Well, first off, I think we should start a drinking game. Anytime someone says 1979, you have to do a shot, because honestly, I've heard it so many times over the last 10 days that, like, I'm tired of it. I get it. I know 1979, and that's not a shot at you guys. I'm just saying, like, everyone would be plastered if you could start that up in the playoffs.
And you could listen to the Smashing Pumpkins song 1979 as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, whatever you need. Like, on That's Hockey, we had Gino Retta and Craig Button put up pictures of what they looked like in 1979. I mean, not available for me because I wasn't born yet, but
you were born in the 90s, Frank.
I was born in the 80s, 1988. Oh, okay. But I just don't look like it, and that's fine. But to answer your question in a serious way, I think that the Leafs have a clear advantage, and Brendan Gallagher to me is the X factor. You can say what you want about Carey Price being healthy and Shea Weber getting rest. Shea Weber is clearly a different player when he gets a chance to take a break. You see him at the start of the season and how good he is. And then you see him when it gets to game 82, or in this case 56, and he looks like he's really struggling to get to the finish line. But Brendan Gallagher is the heartbeat of the Habs. And you look at the games that they've played against Toronto, specifically leading up to this playoff run without Gallagher, and they look like they don't have any fight. You need that maniacal Brendan Gallagher, blood coming out of his mouth, you know, smirking at you from the bench, playoff hockey face that he brings. And he drags everyone on his team into the fight. So they haven't had it. Obviously, they've dealt with a number of other injuries. And I always thought that the Habs were so well positioned for the playoffs. They're built to be a playoff team. They're tough, they're big, they're strong, they're hard to play against. And they've also got the speed and creativity up front to really do some damage in the playoffs. You saw it in the bubble last year. Now they've got, you know, essentially since they've gotten in, they're playing with house money. They're playing against a Leaf team that, for all their success this year, they A, still have flaws, and B, still have a giant monkey to get off their back from last year and the number of years prior where they've had first round failures. This core has accomplished nothing, and they know that in Toronto, and there's pressure to do, and this year specifically, to make a big run given the trade deadline acquisitions that they've made. They've pushed their chips in. They know this is a special year, a special opportunity, only needing to get through the North to get to the Final Four. And they get it, but you can't do any of that without beating the Habs in round one. And to do it soundly and quickly would go a long way.
Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey writer, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs, which, of course, get underway later on tonight.
What's better than this?
Nothing's better than this, buddy. With the the only thing better is the fact that the regular season still isn't over and the Stanley playoffs start tonight.
Why do you have to remind us of that? Like, those games don't exist. They're happening in the afternoon.
It's true. And they might, like we said on our post-game show yesterday, they might as well happen in Portugal for all the attention that those games are going to get, because nobody's sitting there with bated breath to see how these Canucks and Flames games are going to wrap up that next week.
Yeah, what's the only rule here? Someone don't die. That's it.
That is definitely the only rule that was in the Jets and the Leafs game last night. That was a no-hitter.
By the way. Didn't apply. Couple of guys who left the game early with injury, so it's not necessarily that it applied there.
Exactly. I think everyone's holding their breath.
Yeah. No, and you know, and by the way, Frank, if you need a shot, Seagram's just became an official sponsor of Illegal Curve. So we do have Fireball whiskey if you need some of that. So
actually, I'm going to make a confession here. I'm not allowed to drink Fireball. My wife and I, we've been married for 7 years. And when we started dating, it was kind of like right when Fireball came out. And I love it. I love the taste of it. It's like, honestly, I could drink it all day. But I figured out, and I don't know why this is. So, and I know we're saying this live and people are going to be watching this. I drink Fireball and I get super emotional and I don't know why. And we like after the second time I drank it, my wife was like, never again. And if you ever buy that, I'm out. So that's where we stand. I love Fireball, love the taste, but no go for me in this house.
Okay. Well, we've got other varieties of whiskey that we can hook you up with. So that's not an issue. But, perfect. You know, Frank, the question I have is, do you have any insight as to what's happening after the conference finals? I mean, to get to the conference finals in terms of the Canadian government, what the plan is there? Because, of course, and it's such a disparity, right? In the American buildings, they've got fans. Here in Canada, of course, there are no fans. That's going to create a bit of an imbalance. What are you hearing in that regard?
I know you guys are living in a different country, but it might as well be a different world compared to what's happening here in the U.S. I mean, it is, you know, we just went to no masks in grocery stores, no masks anywhere, you know, nearly full buildings. Nashville is going to be almost 13,000. Florida's at 50%. The Vegas Golden Knights are trying to get to 100% by June 1st. It's a totally different world. And so to answer your question, I think with the U.S. teams mostly being vaccinated and the NHL expects 5 to 7 teams to be fully vaccinated, that 85%, that they can sort of relax restrictions as the Stanley Cup playoffs start. That's huge in terms of getting the Canadian team to play round 3 in their own building. It's not about health and safety for the Canadian government. It's about optics. And unfortunately, that's so much of what politics are. And not to make it political, but in this case, you know that the team coming into your country, the American team, to go in and out freely across the border like any normal playoff series would have previously, they're coming in and they're going to be fully vaccinated. And so when they come to your city, they're going to try and make it a bubble, but there's no real risk to the general public. First off, you really can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And second, they're safe. They're not carrying the disease or the virus with them. So that's one big thing that the NHL has in its pocket with these negotiations with the government. And by all accounts, it's been really positive. So there's a lot of optimism that they can actually play this round 3. The Canadian team can do it in their building. They're obviously going to be at a disadvantage going into the U.S. In a building that's going to have fans because all the playoff teams have some level of capacity. And it's still a win for that team in Canada, whoever, you know, emerges as king of the North, because they're going to at least get to sleep in their own beds and play in their own home arena for their home games, as opposed to moving to the U.S. So not done yet. June 1st is the deadline when the NHL needs to know, but it certainly seems like it's trending in that direction.
Frank, we'll let you go on this last question. You know, of all the other playoff series, we've covered basically the North series, and, you know, like so often this year, it seems like the other divisions have happened in a vacuum that may or may not exist. Which of the other playoff series are you most intrigued by? I mean, because there are some fascinating series, especially in that poorly named Central Division. I look at that Panthers-Lightning series, first time ever that the Battle of Florida takes place. And I mean, I think it'll be a surprise to very many people up here in Canada that the Florida Panthers are actually ahead of the Lightning in the standings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like whatever didn't happen in Canada this year didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So that's the exact series that I have my eye on. I was pitching my bosses saying, hey, can I get to that? You know, I'm fully vaccinated. I want to cover that series. That series is going to be bananas. Not only I think could, first off, I think the Panthers are going to win the series.
Nice.
They're a hard team to play against. And I know that the Lightning are likely to get Kucherov and Stamkos back for game 1. And that certainly changes the complexion of it. But it's been a little bit of a roller coaster this year for Tampa, and Florida hasn't had any dips. We were all waiting for the wheels to fall off. You know, you look at the games that they've played, they've been unbelievable. 136 penalty minutes last game, a suspension, a couple fines. The hockey's going to be good. The environment's going to be fantastic. And the Panthers are no joke. So at the very least, what you're going to get is a great series, if not an upset. And there's so many great stories. Aside from those guys coming back from injury, you've got Sam Bennett coming in from Calgary and just where'd that come from? Yeah. And so he's a great story. And you've got, you know, maybe the best goalie, not in the league, but on the planet in Andrei Vasilevsky and so many other things going on. Bill Zito, first year GM going against the Cup champs, you know, and taking a couple pages from their playbook in terms of how they built their roster. And I just think the fact that it's drivable, the fact that it's two markets that in Canada don't move the needle, don't sleep on that series because it's going to be so good.
It will be. Frank Saravelli is TSN senior hockey reporter. He's also co-host of the DFO Hockey Rundown podcast. Frank, it's good to see you, buddy. Next time you're in town, we'll have to get back out. We'll keep the fireball for us, and we'll give you something else instead.
We'll take Frank back to Hermanos.
I'm in wherever, guys. It'd be great to see you guys. And it would just be great to be back in Winnipeg. I haven't left my house in 14, 15 months, and I'd love to get back to Canada.
Frank, I don't know if you remember this. We always talk about this, you know, because we talk about you often. I would say probably on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis. But we always talk about, I don't know if you remember, but you mentioned your family earlier, but we were with you when you found out that you were expecting your first child. I don't know if you remember that.
I actually do not remember
7 or 8 years ago. Yeah,
we were at Hermanos. Hermanos for dinner.
Wow, yeah. How about that?
And then, amazing, guys. So how long ago was that? That must have
my
been
my son turned seven.
Seven years ago,
June 23rd. So yeah, it's
Well, next time you'll have to bring the family up, and we'll make it a real family.
I'm sure you mentioned that to your family all the time, right? That you were with the Illegal Curve guys. And
I honestly, I had no idea that was the case. I remember like a few hazy nights with you guys, maybe having a little bit too much to drink and a lot of fun. But I can't wait to get back together.
Yeah, you came back. If I recall correctly, you came back to the table and you sort of looked a little ashen. And I think that's because you were on the phone finding out that you weren't going to be Frank Saravelli anymore. You're going to be Daddy Saravelli at that point in time.
What a life. What a journey it's been.
Frank, appreciate your time, buddy. Be well.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the playoffs.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Frank. Take care. There he goes. Frank Saravelli of TSN and the DFO Rundown podcast. Let's take a break. When we come back, more on the Jets and Oilers. We'll give our predictions as well. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live Saturday morning on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, obviously chewing something because he couldn't have done that during the break.
Juju.
Well, technically, he was doing it during the break. He just brought it into the.
I see. Good. No, that's a high quality.
I know people think that, you know, that I'm eating salads or kale, you know, during the show. No,
nobody thinks
I'm fueled by jujubes.
If you don't think that, there's already been 17 7-Eleven comments.
Jokes. About you haven't been paying enough attention to the chat. If you haven't seen all the 7-Eleven jokes at your expense, I do appreciate that you were eating the jujubes before 9 a.m. this morning. That is a dedication to sugar that you don't see outside of 6-year-olds very often. Well, so kudos.
Yeah, but nine in the morning is not the same for me. You got to understand, I was up at 20 to 6 this morning with my kids. So 9 o'clock is like 11 o'clock for me.
Just the 11 o'clock being a perfectly normal time to be having jujubes.
Exactly.
Yes, David.
No, I was going to say a little bit of news for the Tuesday show that we're still working on. Assistant General Manager of the Jets / General Manager of the Manitoba Moose, Craig Heisinger, is going to join us. So that's exciting. That's a good first guest on the show.
What time is the show happening? It's still
a work in progress. We're thinking 5 to 7. It looks like it may be like a 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock show.
We have no idea what show you're talking about.
I'm in negotiation. It's all a process. But Craig,
let us know. You know the day and
general
time.
Manager.
Yes, you said day.
Jets is going to be there. So that'll be he'll be a good guest. He can give us some insight into some of these players that came out of nowhere and have had a big impact with the Manitoba Moose. I also just like dropping these names randomly on you about the show that you guys have no idea about.
Yeah, you're doing a great job at, you know, concealing the details from us, and I appreciate that, but that's okay. You'll let us know if and or when you need our services. But sure. If you don't, if it's the Dave Manuk experience, that's perfect.
Maybe
it
may just be the Dave Manuk experience. We'll see.
Yeah, well, can't go wrong with that experience. Let me tell you, that's a wild ride. Want to make mention, of course, of something that we do each and every time that the playoffs start, and I spoke to our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club earlier this week about it. The ICOT pool, hashtag ICOT pool, will be back potentially as early as tonight. So when any playoff game goes into overtime, tweet at Illegal Curve. Use hashtag ICOTPool. Tell us who you think is going to score the overtime winner. If you choose correctly, you may very well win tickets to our to a show with our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Of course, you're going to say, well, Drew, Rumors isn't open yet. That's true, but they're very eager to reopen. They are champing at the bit to reopen. So as soon as they reopen, you'll have a certificate in your hand. You can go out, maybe take your loved ones, maybe take your family members, maybe take some not so loved one. It's really up to you. You can get some tickets to go to Rumors simply by watching overtime with us and using hashtag ICOTPool.
I agree with what, you know, just going to say, I agree with what Jeff Hamilton said during the first hour when we had him on. Like, this is the best time of year. Frank mentioned it as well. And obviously, we love the ICOT pool. I was going to say, my favorite part is every year that person or a couple people that try to, you know, get their
death in. After.
You know, like, Nikita Kucherov will score the OT winner, and then you'll get two or three people that, you know, tweet at us, Nikita Kucherov. That's always my favorite, because there's always, and it seems like it's always kind of like the same people that do it, but
there's two jokes that we get. We get that one, the guy or gal who's like being funny.
1980s or Jets.
Guy or gal? What is this, the 1960s, Drew?
There's nothing. Thank you, Ezra. Or the person who says that, oh, we're going to take Stan Smeal to score for the Vancouver Canucks in the ICOT pool.
I just want to know,
been done.
Drew, how much do you pay Ronnie? Because he just likes you too much. It just says he wants to do a show with you. He thinks you and he would do a great job doing a hockey show. And yeah. Ronnie, he'll never have a good show with Drew because he can't always agree with everything he says. That's terrible.
Well, the truth is that Ronnie is actually my alter ego. It's just me under a different name. So, you know, okay. Don't tell anybody. Shh, that's a secret.
Actually, that's not true. I actually, Drew, for the record, I've met Ronnie. I believe I met Ronnie. I did meet Ronnie. And he said to me right in my face, I like your show, but Drew's my favorite. I was like, okay.
Well, you know, he's got good taste. What can I say?
And the thing is, nobody likes Drew the best, right, Dave? It's usually me or you. So, obviously, you know, Ronnie is a good guy. He knows what he's talking about.
Well, and you could just say nobody likes me, period. I mean, that would be perfectly
fine.
That's
not true. Your wife probably does. Your kids do.
My kids, you know, definitely. My wife, it depends on the day and the time and the circumstances. But, you know, that's usually to be expected with any
sometimes
loving
when I,
marriage.
When we're too hard on you, Drew, I have to, sometimes it goes through my head. Like, people realize this is all a shtick, right? Like, Drew is the biggest sweetheart. He's the best guy.
I'm actually
the villain.
And Ezzy, for the record, Drew thrives on this. Drew likes this.
Oh, yeah.
Drew loves this kind of stuff. So I mean,
breaking the ego. Yeah.
And it's funny because we've had comments sometimes with people who don't sit. I mean, obviously with the people who've been following our show for the last decade and plus they know the shtick between this group. But at the same time, sometimes
Dave, you've been part of the show for 12 years, right?
Oh yes, absolutely. From day one. Absolutely.
Richie was never part of the show.
There was never anybody other than Dave.
Well, there's two ongoing questions that are always my favorite. The first one, like, people who just tune in randomly, like, they don't really seem to like each other. And that's sort of part of the routine. And second of all,
and they're right.
That's fair. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you don't have to love each other to get the job done. And the second one is also my favorite is, so just exactly how old is Drew anyways? Because everyone seems to think that I'm about, you know, in my mid to late 60s, which, newsflash, I'm not, as you can see with this baby face that I got on display
and your old babysitter, Richard Weiss, he's still a big fan of yours. So you still got some fans, Drew. Anyways, we've interjected enough.
Let's go.
Before we get into the next series, Drew,
We're not getting into the next series. Yes, you still got to give me predictions for this series.
Okay, well, we'll give our predictions for the Jets and Oilers, but I got a text from my good friend Adam Florence. I've been friends with him. You guys know Flojo really well, as I call him. Went to school with him since I was 5 years old.
Hang on. There's only one Flojo, and that's Florence Joyner.
She's an Olympic athlete.
Have you ever actually called Adam Florence Flojo before?
I've been calling him Flojo since high school.
Okay.
Oh.
He texted me. This is a hilarious text because we were previewing the Habs-Leafs series with Frank Saravelli. He texted me. So I don't know if I mentioned this. He lives in Montreal. He texted me, I'm at a kid's birthday party with Shea Weber's kids and wife.
Does he know if Shea Weber is going to be healthy?
Shea Weber, so Shea's not there. Thought that was funny.
That's true. It might be a practice or something. Does he know if Shea's healthy?
Adam's daughter goes to daycare with Shea Weber's kids.
Does he know if Shea Weber's going to be healthy for game one? That, you know, the inquiring minds want to know.
Hold on. I'll get that answer right now.
Ezzy, you have the possibility of being an insider with extra R's.
Well, actually, you're the insider with three R's after your Cole Perfetti news from earlier this week, Dave. Now, Ezzy will be the insider with four or five R's, which is ironic because I think that's how he normally thinks insider is spelled to begin with.
At least I know how to spell hygiene.
It's true. You do know how to spell hygiene. Ouch. Give me some predictions, guys. Let's go. We've talked about the Jets and the Oilers. We'll talk more about the Jets and the Oilers. I'm looking on my second screen here. Some of our friends at Sportsnet have come out with their predictions for the Jets and the Oilers, and it is overwhelmingly leaning towards the Oilers. So give me your predictions on the Jets and the Oilers.
I'm going Jets in six, and I realize that, as you just mentioned, most people are taking the Oilers, but, you know, it's a new season, and, you know, I do think that the Jets are a little somewhat rejuvenated after that long losing streak. They've gone through some adversity here. We don't know if Ehlers is going to be back for game one, but we do expect him back, you know, earlier in the series. I think that's going to be, you know, a huge boost for the Jets. And at the end of the day, it's like Frank Saravelli said, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they're going to get points. But I do think, you know, the difference for me in the series is going to be Connor Hellebuck. I think he's going to steal some games, and I think, you know, it might be as early as Wednesday night game one. So, again, it might not be a popular pick, but I'm taking Jets in six.
Well, hang on. Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet, Jets in six, and former Toronto Maple Leafs general manager Gord Stellick, Jets in six. So you're not completely on an island so far when it comes to those predictions. Mr. Minook, let me hear what you have to say.
I'm also going with the Jets because I actually, again, like I said, I think it's a toss-up. I think that the Oilers are a little inflated right now. I think that they've been playing well, but again, like I said, Mike Smith's been fantastic. If you find a chink in that armor, if you find a little crack in the wall, you know, that could be something that you can exploit and widen. So if the Jets are able to do that, if they're able to, again, with some of the firepower that they have at their disposal. And obviously, Nikolaj Ehlers is a big factor, and that's a big if as to what's going to happen with game one, maybe game two, regardless of when he's ready to return. I think it'll be an interesting situation, but I'm actually going with the Jets in seven.
Jets in seven. So let me look.
Hashtag bold.
Here's who else chose the Jets in seven, courtesy of our friends at Sportsnet. Nick Alberga has the Jets in seven. Justin Bourne has the Jets in seven. And Dave, you're in some elite company. None other than Kenny himself, Ken Weeb, has the Jets in seven as well. So there you go. You
got what about Rennie? What did Rennie go with?
For whatever reason, and we'll obviously have to find out more about this. Maybe we'll have to text them in Ezzy's role as an insider. Rennie wasn't asked for his predictions, so you might have to stay tuned. I think I saw that later on this week. Maybe I think they're trying for maybe Tuesday. Kenny and Rennie are going to do their own playoff preview show, so we'll have to see what Kenny or what Rennie has to say there when it comes to predictions. Sean Reynolds being Rennie, of course. You can keep giving us your predictions in the chat right now, so keep sending those in. How you think the Jets and the Oilers series is going to go. I hate to be the party pooper or the rain on the parade. I've watched the Jets for the majority of the year. I've watched the Oilers for a lot this year. I do think that the Oilers are just a little bit better than the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm going to go with Oilers in seven. It's going to be close. It's not going to be one-sided. It's not going to be it's not going to be the Jets team that we've seen, you know, lose seven games in a row recently. I do believe, though, that the Oilers are going to end up persevering, and it's going to be Oilers in seven. Time will tell. It starts Wednesday night, the Illegal Curve postgame show, Wednesday night. You know, assuming there's no overtime, postgame will probably start right around 10:40, give or take a couple minutes there. We'll have we're all there for you. We're going to be tuned on our Twitter feed throughout the course of the game. And then when the game ends, come back here and we're going to talk about everything that happened. It'll probably be even an extended version of the Illegal Curve post game show, given that it's going to be playoff time and the games matter that much more. And if we could do an hour and 10 minutes after last night's Leafs-Jets game that didn't mean anything, and granted, a lot of that time was spent on Ezzy's poster of Anna Kournikova in his room when he was a teenager. We'll talk more about hockey and less about Ezzy's weird posters up in his bedroom when he was an impressionable youth.
That's not weird. I had a huge crush on Anna Kournikova. Yeah, I just can't believe that you didn't know that you guys didn't know he was married. She was married to Enrique Iglesias. Like, do you guys not watch TMZ?
I'm just shocked Ezzy didn't drop a Samantha Fox reference.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
Well, see, you guys missed that. I guarantee you there's going to be some people in the chat who are going to know that reference.
Samantha Fox?
Yeah, she was like literally the poster child. Like that was the poster.
I thought you said smack the fox.
Well, that too. I mean, I would do that, yes, but that PETA would get upset.
Yeah, I think smacking the fox is what you did when you were looking at your
anaconda. Okay. All right. Moving along.
This is a family program. Yeah, my kids watch the show.
Yeah, your kids shouldn't know what that means, and that's fine. Let's talk about the Leafs and the Habs series. We're going to go through the rest of the playoff series over the next few minutes, give our predictions and everything else. Joe from Winnipeg knew who Samantha Fox was, Dave.
Yeah, so obviously.
You're in good company. But you're elderly.
Going to Google her now.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
The Leafs and the Habs. So the Leafs obviously are the better team on paper. They've been the better team all season long. They dominated the Montreal Canadiens this year for the most part during their head-to-head matchups. But this Montreal Canadiens team might be getting healthy at the same time. Or at the right time, pardon me. You know, they need to get Carey Price back in net. They need to get Shea Weber, and obviously we're going to see if we can get an update on his health. You know, Brendan Gallagher coming back. Philip Deneau I saw was practicing. So is this series between the Leafs and the Habs closer than it looks like on paper? The Leafs went 7-2-1 against the Canadiens this year, almost as one-sided as the Oilers' record against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it's a really good comparison, right? Like the Oilers and the Leafs are probably both really happy with the first round matchups they got. But, you know, you mentioned some of the injured players. Like it's been reported by Stu Cowan. I saw in Montreal Gazette, Brendan Gallagher and Carey Price are both going to be healthy. The expectation Shea Weber is going to be back. Obviously, you know, guys, Jonathan Drouin, for personal reasons, isn't going to be available for the Habs. But I do think it's closer. Like, you know, I'll wait to give my prediction here. But I still think, you know, this if Brendan Gallagher wasn't good to go, I don't know if I would think the Habs would be competitive in this series. And, you know, I don't think Carey Price is going to have as big of an impact as Gallagher. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if Price gets lit up by the Leafs if you don't see Jake Allen go in, because we know Jake Allen has played the majority of the games in net for the Habs this year. So Gallagher is the key one for me. Obviously, you know, Weber is a top four defenseman for them. But we talked about this all year long, you know, when we were looking at the Jets and the Habs when they were playing in their games. And, you know, this Habs group of defensemen is really good, right? Like they brought in Joel Edmondson to a group that's already very solid with, you know, we mentioned Weber, Ben Chiarot, who am I forgetting here? Brett Kulak is a very underrated defenseman. Romanov is a rookie defenseman for them. So I really like their group of defensemen, and they've got some balanced scoring. Like, you know, let's not forget Tyler Toffoli has been a really good player for them this year. And, you know, we know Gallagher, Deneau, like these are talented players, and they brought in Corey Perry to kind of be that veteran presence on the fourth line. So I do think that the Habs are going to put up a fight here, but let's not forget that, you know, this is a dream team here for the Leafs. Like, you know, Frank Seravalli mentioned it. Like, you brought in Nick Foligno, you brought in David Riddick. Like, this was already, you know, one of the best teams in the NHL. Like, let's not just say it's the best team in the North Division. Like, they're absolutely stacked. Matthews had a career year. Marner, John Tavares was on an absolute heater, guys, to end the regular season. Not so much yesterday versus the Jets. So, yeah, the Habs are going to have to find an answer to shut down that high-powered Leaf offense. But I do think, you know, the Habs are going to win some games. I still like the Leafs in the series, but I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Put it that way, Drew.
Dave, your thoughts and your analysis on this Leafs-Habs series. Is this
just because I said that it's going to be a sweep, by the way.
For the Habs. The Habs are going to sweep the Leafs instead.
Put the Ginsburg on them.
Yeah. Is this the year that the Leafs are able to, you know, overcome their bugaboo being a playoff series? Winning a playoff round has been something that they haven't been able to accomplish despite having a fair bit of regular season success as of late. We remember what happened in the bubble last summer. They flamed out against a Columbus Blue Jackets team. You know, how do the Leafs prevent that from happening again? And how do the Habs sort of overcome what looks like a fairly one-sided disadvantage that they hold against Toronto?
Well, I mean, I think health is a big factor, and we talked about that for the last couple of days prior to when we were detailing all the injuries the Jets were dealing with. We were saying, well, how much worse is it for Montreal? Because they had a number of guys. They had a number more than the Jets had in terms of guys who were dealing with injury. But as you just reported, if you've got Carey Price healthy, if you've got Brendan Gallagher available, if you potentially have Shea Weber, that definitely impacts your team and it makes it a better team. Now, I personally think this Leafs team is built for success, and I think they've created a structure within this team to have both talent and a little grit and they've got some playoff experience and guys who have been able to make, to go far in the playoffs or been role players. They're not the team that's going to be fragile. I think that's the key for this Leafs team is, and again, the big question is goaltending. Is Campbell going to be good enough? Are they going to go with Anderson? I mean, we saw what the Manitoba Moose did against Frederik Anderson. And so are they going to trust him or are they going to allow, you know, Campbell to have the net? Again, that to me is probably the biggest Achilles heel for this Toronto's team. But I think, although I suspect that they wouldn't mind having a second team in Toronto. But again, I think that's probably going to be the biggest question mark for them. And again, will Carey Price be healthy and ready to go? And could he be Carey Price that we've seen previously? That could be an X factor for me as well. However, having said that, I think Montreal is going to have some success because I think they're going to play Toronto physically. And that's probably the writing on the wall when you're playing against this Leafs team. But again, like I said, you know, when you've got a guy like Foligno and you've got Thornton, you've got Simmons, they've got some guys who can handle the physical play. So it's not as big an element, I think, as it was in previous years. But again, like I said, I still think Toronto, despite their deficiencies in net, potentially, and again, like I said, Campbell's been excellent, so I don't want to malign him. But again, in terms of what he should be able to do in the playoffs, which we've talked about as being a different animal, I ultimately think Toronto's going to win this in six.
Yeah, and there's no doubt Campbell's going to start game one, Dave. Like Freddie Anderson is the backup. He got one game in at the end of the regular season, but you know he was struggling with the Marlies when they played the Moose, right? So that's right. I think mm-hmm. it's not a question of, you know, who's going to start for the Leafs. I think it's a question of if Campbell struggles, can Freddie Anderson come in and give them the type of goaltending that he's given them in the past? Because let's be honest, this injury has really thrown his season off, right? And it's tough when you get injured at that point in the season and then you have a goaltender who was already kind of establishing himself as the new number one goaltender and he's a pending UFA, right? So that is the big question mark for the Leafs. The only question mark. Like, you look at their defense, and, you know, Bogo's injured right now, but TJ Brody, Morgan Riley, you know, Justin Hull, Jake Muzzin, Travis Dermott, like, they're really solid mm-hmm. on defense. Ben Hutton was the other guy that's their sixth defenseman right now with Bogo out. And then obviously you've got Rasmus Sundin in there, right? But just look at the third line, Pierre Engvall, Ilya Mikheyev. They're not going to have Zach Hyman. I don't know if they're going to get him back at all during the series, but they're not going to have him early in the series, that's for sure. So that's the only significant injury they have right now, but they're really deep. So I agree with you, Dave. Like, you know, this is Canada's team right now. They're a heavier favorite, I would say, than the Oilers are. But I think, you know, the Leafs are going to make it interesting. I'm going to give you your prediction right now, Drew. I'm going to say Leafs in six.
Leafs in six, and I believe, Dave, you also said Leafs in six, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
correct.
There you go. So both of you on the Leafs. Worth interesting to note, looking at, again, just because I have it handy, all the Sportsnet predictors, and I think there's about 20 of them, not a single one has chosen the Montreal Canadiens to defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if the Habs want to play up the nobody believes in us card, they can certainly have a lot of evidence to that effect. And you know what? The people who say that they hate the Habs, I don't really quite understand that. If I had to choose
the Habs,
yeah, I don't hate the Habs. I mean, I can't quite understand that.
Well, you shouldn't hate anybody. Life's too short to hate anybody.
You know what I mean. But in terms of, you know, teams that I don't mind watching flame out, you know, for mass entertainment for my own personal Schadenfreude, the Leafs certainly would be at the top of that list. And, you know, who knows what'll happen. But of course, the Montreal Canadiens, you know, that's why they play the games, as the old cliche goes.
It kind of scares me. I was just going to say, Drew, it kind of scares me. I can't speak for you guys, but when you don't see a single person picking the Habs, it makes me think that maybe the Habs can win this series, right? Because even though Carey Price is, you know, let's be honest, he's towards the end of his career. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in anybody's mind he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he's not the same Price of 5 or 6 years ago, right? Like, he's not able to make 35 to 40 saves and steal a game. He maybe can do it one game. I should say, I don't think he can do it in a series.
Nobody thought they were going to beat the Penguins last year in the bubble. And you remember that the Habs really handled the Penguins quite easily. Now, the Penguins didn't look right at all during the bubble. And I think the bubble was such
Their defense was atrocious.
Yeah, and the bubble was such an anomaly, I think, that you really can't necessarily extrapolate anything from it, especially because it was, you know, so many games ago. But, you know, for the Habs, I think that they have to look at that and say, look, nobody gave us a shot there, and we took care of Pittsburgh in the first round, if I recall correctly, in games, something along those lines. So, you know, again...
Just so Ty knows, Ezzy's birthday is July 24th, so you've got some time before you have to get him that poster.
Same day as the NHL draft.
And I look forward to hopefully you can present it to him at the same time his wife is there, just so I can see that reaction. Because I think
he's going to open it up when we're doing our Legal Curve first round show. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Is that how it's going to work? Okay.
I always say I have the same birthday as Jennifer Lopez. I have the same birthday as Barry Bonds. I have the same birthday as Patrice Bergeron. And I have the exact same birthday, including the year, as Anna Paquin, famous Winnipeg actress.
As you're thinking about it in the wrong way. You got to think about it that they have the same birthday as you, not that other way around.
Right.
That's how I think about it with Mr. 8787, Mr. Sidney Crosby. We share the same birthday, but I know that he's, you know, when he goes home to Cole Harbour or whatever in the offseason. What did you say, Dave?
I have the same birthday as Mundell.
Do you think he tells people, I have the same birthday as Mundell?
There's no question about it in my mind. Prove me wrong. That's what I would say to you. Prove me wrong. Saturday morning, we're live here with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment
fool me
brought
once,
you
by... Shame on me. Fool you twice. Shame on
I've never
you.
Done this before, but I'm looking at some of the people born on September 15th, my birthday. Prince Harry, Tommy Lee Jones, big fan of his.
I always forget your birthday, Dave. It's like 15th, 16th, 14th.
No, I'm a 15th. Come on.
It's actually only one day. You just can't remember the one day. It doesn't change. It just is the same day every year. You just have to learn it.
No, it changes for leap years.
Sorry, we do have someone who's really famous.
No, Ezzy, his birthday doesn't change on a leap year.
It was a joke. you're like Naomi. Like, I try to be like overtly sarcastic with her, and she takes me serious. I'm like, how could you take that seriously? And then I remember who she's talking to.
Yeah.
Got some other good ones here. Marco Polo. Yeah, he was born. September 15th, 1254. It's pretty impressive.
What about Ralph Lauren?
Nope. Gaylord Perry, baseball player. Dan Marino.
You guys didn't get that joke. Marco Polo. Polo. Ralph Lauren.
Oh, that's right. I missed on. I was just right over my head. Heidi Pratt. Hello Hills. Is that tonight?
And apparently, our buddy from the Netherlands. Rowdy, the Dutch Jets
Rowdy,
fan.
You and him Rowdy and I have the same birthday. That's amazing.
There you go.
Hi, Rowdy.
This show is we thought yesterday's post-game show went off the rails. This one has certainly taken a sharp left turn. I was saying this segment brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Somebody in Matthew Thompson, check today because it's Ken Weeb's birthday, which is very funny, Matthew, because the running joke, of course, being that every day.
Foolish ones.
Yes, every day is Ken Weeb's birthday, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter what day of the year it is. Every day is Ken's birthday. Let's shift our focus.
No, I want to do one quick interjection. There was a really funny comment by Josh Morrissey in the availability yesterday. He was doing an interview, and Ken asked a question, and he's talking about Ken's tan and how Ken had been golfing a lot. It was so funny. Threw Kenny off. And then the best was like, I tweeted the line out and Ken DM'd me. He's like, I didn't golf. And I'm like, Ken, I know you didn't golf, but he's very sensitive. So he's only golfed one time for people thinking that the Manitoba Golf Tour is well underway.
No, it's delayed.
Are you saying that Weaver slid into your DMs?
He did slide into my DMs. Correct.
Yes. Anyways, let's talk about the Western Division first round series. You have, the Vegas Golden Knights. They get the St. Louis Blues in the the Vegas Golden Knights get the Minnesota Wild in the first round. And the Colorado Avalanche get the St. Louis Blues. Avalanche were 5-3-0 against the Blues this season. And the Minnesota Wild were actually quite good against the Vegas Golden Knights. 5-1-2 against the Golden Knights. At one point in time, they won 5 straight. So this Wild team has been sort of the surprise team in the NHL, I think, all season long from my perspective. Maybe they were going to be a fringe playoff team, but they've definitely exceeded my expectations, and it's going to be two very interesting series in the Western Division starting, I don't even know when those playoff series start, to be perfectly honest. I think Monday, if I'm not mistaken, for those ones.
And you're right to be confused, Drew, with the matchups, because Vegas and Colorado, it was the last game of the year. Colorado had to beat LA twice to not only claim the West Division title, but they won the President's Trophy, right? Because Vegas and Colorado had the same amount of points, 82, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, you're right. Minnesota has had a lot of success against Vegas. And yeah, they're a surprise, because in that division, you kind of just you penciled in Vegas and Colorado, and then you expected, you know, St. Louis most likely to take one of those playoff spots. But, you know, and it's not just, you know, Kirill Kaprizov. Like, he's obviously, you know, a guy that has really made them a much more dangerous offensive team. But, you know, you've had a really good season from Joel Eriksson Ek, a first rounder who, you know, he took a little bit of time. They had him as a third line center, and he's had a career year. And when you look at that defense, I mean, the issues in Minnesota have never been around their D group. I mean, we know with Ryan Suter, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba, you know, the names go on and on. Like, that's a really solid defensive team. And yeah, like, you know, the thing with Vegas is similar to Edmonton. They don't have as much depth once you go through the roster, right? Like, when the Jets played Vegas back in 2018 and lost in the West Final, the top line was Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, William Karlsson. That's not your top line anymore. Chandler Stephenson is centering Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. It's been one of the best lines in the league all year long. If Minnesota can shut down that line, Dave, then mm-hmm. it's going to go a long way in beating the Golden Knights. The huge advantage for me is the Golden Knights in net. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury at 36 sure. years old, he could win the Vezina. I mean, it could go to Andre Vasilevsky as well, but just look at Fleury's numbers. Like, they're incredible. And if Fleury does
they
struggle
on the Jennings Trophy this year, the Golden Knights.
Yeah, there you go. So if Fleury struggles, like, you've got two number one goaltenders. There aren't that many teams in the NHL that can say that. Like, they're not 1A, 1B. They're both 1A, right? So that's the big advantage for the Golden Knights here. But yeah, I think this is going to be a very close series, a very intriguing series. And I think, you know, the Wild maybe aren't giving enough credit outside of Minnesota for how deep of a team they are. Like, it's not just one or two players. Like, Matt Zuccarello's had a good season. And I think Dean Evason deserves a lot of credit. He's a really good coach, and he's got a lot out of that group. So I think this is going to be a longer series.
Well, and you know what, Izzy, it's funny because if you remember when we had Mike McKenna on from who covers Vegas, obviously the former goaltender, he talked about that. He said that the one team that's probably a team that they don't want to face is Minnesota because they seem to have had their number all season long. So I actually expect it to be a pretty good series. I think Minnesota is almost like found money right now. You're getting such a good and experienced run for, I mean, obviously you've got some veteran guys on this team, but you're getting a lot of guys who, you know, are getting their first taste of playoff hockey. That's a good thing for the Jets' former Central Division rival. I don't even know what division they're in anymore, but whatever those division towns south are called, the fact is it's a good opportunity for them because, again, they're young and dumb, not all of them, obviously, and they've been told all year long that they weren't supposed to do this, and they've been able to consistently do it. So I mean, I would expect Vegas to win this series. I think Vegas is actually going to win it in five, but I still think Minnesota is going to give them a fight.
Ezzy, give me your prediction.
Ezzy, you're muted.
I think
Ezzy. You're muted.
You're still muted.
As well. I hear you guys. The funniest part is Ezzy mutes himself. It's not like we're not muting Ezzy. Ezzy mutes himself.
Well, the reason why I mute myself is so, you know, you don't hear my heavy breathing and you don't hear me. I've got a bit of a nasal thing going because I was raking the leaves yesterday and I had an allergic reaction. So I'm taking the Golden Knights as well. The line that
I mentioned. Reaction to leaves or allergic reaction to work?
Well, yeah, it's funny. No, I took a vacation day yesterday for Hockey Manitoba, and I was doing some light gardening in the backyard. But it was more so, I think, just from the dust, and, you know, I have those two big trees in my backyard. So it was needles and, you know, all that stuff. You guys know what it's like with the spring allergies. But I was just going to mention the line I was talking about earlier on the Wild. Jordan Greenway, Kevin Fiala was the Marcus Foligno, Joel Eriksson Ek, and Jordan Greenway is that line that I was trying to reference for Minnesota. And I think that's going to be a factor there. And I'm going to go with Golden Knights in six. I don't think it's going to be maybe as short as Dave thinks. I wouldn't be, you know, shocked. I mean, Golden Knights are a really good team. But to me, it's kind of, you know, the Golden Knights are one of those rare teams that are one of the best goal-scoring teams in the league, and they're one of the best defensive teams in the league. They're a really good possession team, but as we talked about, the Wild had some success during the regular season. So still taking Vegas, but I think Minnesota is going to make it tough on them.
There you go. Those are the predictions so far. What about between the Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues? I mean, this certainly looks like it should be a one-sided series, but Ryan O'Reilly, you know, certainly not shy about giving some bulletin board material. Here's the quote that from Ryan O'Reilly, St. Louis Blues captain: "When we're skating and we're physical, I think we give them a lot of issues, whether that's forechecking or defending. when we play our heavy game and commit to it and put pucks in and don't feed their rush, we make it tough on them and find ways to beat them. That's what we've got to do. That's got to be our focus. We know they have a lot of talent over there. They work hard, but for us, it's an exciting challenge. We're going to have some fun and we are going to beat them. St. Louis Blues captain Ryan O'Reilly. Is he right? Are they going to beat them? Or is he just saying what needs to be said in the dressing room?
They might beat them, but I'm not taking the Blues. And if there's one guy that can say that, it's Ryan O'Reilly. He happens to have a Stanley Cup ring and a Conn Smythe trophy, right? So when he says that, it's not like some, you know, run-of-the-mill player. And I appreciate that confidence. I'm a huge fan of O'Reilly, as you guys know. But, I mean, look, Colorado finished the season winning five games in a row. We talked about it. They're the President's Trophy champion. I just think they're too much offensively for St. Louis to handle. Like, yeah, St. Louis is a good defensive team. But, you know, and they're relatively healthy as well, right? So with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, Gabe Landeskog, it goes on and on. And also, you know, what they have going is a very activated and offensive-minded defense, right? Like, we know how good Cale Makar is, Samuel Girard. You know, I think the addition of Devon Taves was just a perfect complement in their top four. So, and really solid in net with Grubauer. So I just don't see any weaknesses in this team, right? Like, we could go up and down their roster, Dave. You know, Nazem Kadri, Andrei Burakovsky, Brandon Saad. Like, you know, it's just a very deep. There's a reason why they were the top team in the NHL. So I'm going to go Avalanche in six. I almost want to go Avalanche in five. The Blues are a solid hockey team, but I just think this Avalanche team right now has to be a Stanley Cup favorite.
Yeah, Dave? I mean, it's hard to argue with what Ezzy just said. He went through that and he explained like what the disparities are between these two squads. And again, I like the additions that Joe Sakic has made. He's shown that he's a more than capable GM in Colorado. The things that he's managed to do and do it all under the salary cap have been impressive. So I like what Colorado's done. And again, what was the big concern with Colorado last year was their goaltending. But if their goaltending is solid, then that's a team that's to be feared. And you don't win. You know, they didn't win the way, like, I think that they've learned lessons. I think incrementally they've managed this group because they've kept them largely intact. Have learned together, and I think it's through those shared experiences, you're going to see a collective will to win on this Avalanche team. So I agree with you, Ezzy. I think O'Reilly said what he had to say, and I don't dispute his belief in his team, but I don't think these Blues team is what they were before, and I anticipate that you're going to have a Colorado team that's going to take it in six.
I just wanted to throw this in as well, Drew, just before we move on. Like, Devan Dubnyk is backing Philip Grubauer up, right? Like, they're all in. And I think you go back to last year, the Avalanche could have easily gone to the Stanley Cup final and maybe even won it. What was the issue? They ran into the injuries, remember? Like, with Pavel Francouz, who was a capable backup for Grubauer, but then they were down to Michael Hutchinson. And you know, we got to give Hutch credit here. Like, he won some games for the Avalanche, but it was just too little too late. So you've got Devan Dubnyk, right? A former Vezina finalist. And if Grubauer does go down, I think now you've got a better option, even though Francouz was a good goalie. So I think that's something to throw out. Like, the Avalanche are just deep in all areas. They really don't have that many weaknesses.
When we come back, we'll shift our focus to the Eastern Conference, that being the East Division and the Central Division. Much more to come. We're talking predictions. We're talking the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening. You're watching. You're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. We're back Saturday morning. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. This segment brought to you by our good friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich, located in the Cordon Village Mall. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Our friends at Bernstein's undergoing some renovations to the restaurant right now. So unfortunately, unless you're going to make an Illegal Curve sandwich at home, a do-it-yourself Illegal Curve sandwich, it's temporarily unavailable, but it'll soon be available and back to being better than ever. But Bernstein's Deli is still there to make all your other sandwiches and salads and all your sort of quote-unquote cold food available for you as they're undergoing some renovations at
what the salad?
What salad? You don't have salad, kids, like in the Boston Pizza commercial that we just played?
You don't make friends with salad, Drew.
Well, you never know. You know, a good quality salad is a delicious thing to eat, Mr. Ginsburg. You might want to look into that. I'm just saying. Anyways, let's shift our focus to the East Division. You got two very interesting series. It gets underway tonight with the Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins, the Zdeno Chara series, of course, where Chara looking for, I guess, quote-unquote, revenge against his former franchise. I don't know how much revenge there truly is going to be there.
And also, Chara's the nicest guy. I don't think he's thinking about revenge.
And you have the Penguins and the Islanders. The Penguins 6-2 this year against the Islanders. So sort of a one-sided Pittsburgh Penguins, team against the Islanders. And you know, the Penguins to me are a team that nobody's talking about. They win the East Division, which is impressive because that's certainly not an easy division to win. They do it
the best division in this season. Right. I would argue.
They do it without Evgeny Malkin for the vast majority of the year. And this Penguins team is very much flying under the radar when it comes to those teams.
By the way, Malkin, our good friend Seth Rohrbaugh just said Malkin is a game time decision for the game.
There you go. So, you know, the Penguins to me are very much flying under the radar of those teams that are being discussed as potential Stanley Cup champions, despite the fact that they won their division.
Yeah, I agree with you, Drew. And I think the reason is, part of the reason is 2 years ago, they were swept by the Islanders. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're being underrated or they're flying under the radar, because the Penguins, for since they've won those two Stanley Cups, have been one and done. Right. So I'm really looking forward. First of all, I'm looking forward to Bruins Capitals tonight just because it's the start of the playoffs. But I'm really looking forward to this Penguins Islanders series. Right. Like, I feel like both of these teams are somewhat disrespected in that they're not really considered the favorites, right? Like, I think a lot of people still think the Lightning are the favorite to come out of the, I guess, I don't know if they're even in the East anymore. I guess they're more in the West, right? In the Central Division.
Who knows?
Or I don't know. Is there an East and West? Like, I don't even know.
It's all getting reseeded for the Final Four. The Final Four will be the best team against the lowest team.
Exactly.
And then second against third, regardless of what division they're playing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I still think that, you know, the Islanders and the Penguins, you know, could go deep. I don't know if that necessarily means Stanley Cup final, but I could easily see them going to the conference final. And you're right, Drew. And, you know, we talked about this, a little while back. Like, the biggest difference to me in the Penguins and why I think, you know, they're going to beat the Islanders is because of their defense and the improved defense. Like, Mike Matheson, even though, you know, you don't think Mike Matheson is this, like, offensive juggernaut, like, he's been a real improvement. You think back to the past few years, like Jack Johnson, he was a liability on the back end. So to me, like, Mike Matheson isn't a huge upgrade. And, you know, I've liked Cody Ceci's game this year. And I do think, you know, that having Malkin back, whether that's the first game, we expect him, if it's not the first game, that it's going to be earlier in the series. Like, that's going to be a huge boost. Like, in a year in which Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews did what they did, like, Sidney Crosby was still over a point a game player, right? And like, you just expect that.
We take him for granted at this point in his career.
Absolutely. But, you know, like, Crosby had the same amount of goals as Alex Ovechkin this year, 24. Jake Guentzel had at 23 goals, right? Like, you know, Kasperi Kapanen is a guy that wasn't talked a lot about, but, you know, he's been really good and kind of given them a little bit more skill in their top nine. So, top six, actually. So, you know, I think the Penguins, are a contender again. And, you know, we know that, you know, the goaltending has been much better than it was last year. And, you know, let's be honest, Tristan Jarry, it's tough to live up to what Matt Murray did earlier in his career, right? Winning the two Stanley Cups. So I like the Penguins, but I do think this one's going to go to seven games. And I could easily see the Islanders winning this series again because they're a very deep team too. But this one is going to be like, I feel like this one is going to have three or four overtimes. Like, the Penguins and Islanders have played many times before in the playoffs, and they seem to always bring out the best in each other, Dave.
You may as well be asking me about AK Bars versus Dynamo Mints for my level of understanding in terms of what's going on in these series. I mean, you know, there's a bit more, insight simply because we watch occasionally see some of the games out west, but the games in the East, I mean, good night, Irene. I generally can't claim to have any tremendous knowledge as to what's going on with those guys. But look, you kind of go with a hot hand. And to me, the Penguins have been on fire. They're, 8-2-0 in their last 10 games. So, and they have that a little bit of that swagger right now. And to your point, I think it was Drew who said this. They're teams that are kind of being disrespected, right? They're teams that are not really being very well regarded by anybody outside of those respective cities. I love Barry Trotz. I think Barry Trotz is an excellent coach. I think he's shown how capable he is, how good he is at squeezing water out of a rock oftentimes. This isn't going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be like a 7-game series between those two. I'd probably give maybe the edge to the Penguins just because of that experience, especially if Malkin is, depending obviously on his status, because like I said, Seth just said he was a game time decision for tomorrow. But to me, if you can get Malkin, if you've got Crosby the way he's got, you've got those other role players. So I could see that being a Penguins in 7.
I was going to throw in, Jeff Carter is playing up the middle on the third line for them. That was one of those kind of surprise trade deadline acquisitions, right? Like everyone was kind of thinking Carter was just going to finish his career in LA, right? Like he wasn't somebody, I don't think he was on the trade bait board.
The big thing with Carter was he was always almost threatening to retire if he got traded because he always wanted to finish his career in LA. And that, you're right, it was totally under the radar. They got Carter, and then he had 4 goals he's been very good for LA.
Goals against the Buffalo Sabres, but I think, you know, Dave, you would have had 4 goals against the Sabres if you were competing against them. No, I'm joking, but you know, yeah, Carter and Crosby obviously have the friendship. That was one of the reasons he admitted why he decided to, you know, I don't know if he had to waive a no move clause, but he agreed to the trade, let's put it that way. So Carter's going to be a factor as well. But the Islanders are very deep, right? Like I think we would all agree the Islanders are one of the hardest teams to play against defensively. They don't give you a lot. They're really strong in net. So it's not going to be an easy series for them. And this one to me is almost a coin flip. Like I almost kind of went, I was going towards the Islanders, but I do think Pittsburgh offensively, that's where I kind of give them the edge.
Well, you know, speaking of the Buffalo Sabres, Taylor Hall looks like he's been hooked up to the rejuvenation machine, leaving the trash fire that is the Buffalo Sabres organization and arriving in Boston. And doesn't that just look like a seamless fit right now? And the depth that he adds to the Boston Bruins as they face off against the Washington Capitals in the first round. And this is a Capitals team that's got a little bit of upheaval around them. You hear about Evgeny Kuznetsov, you know, for the second time this year, sort of getting into trouble with, you know, breaking some rules. I don't know if this was specifically COVID protocol related, but it sounds like he was late to a team meeting. And as a result, he was sat down for a game or two. Just things don't seem to be hunky-dory in Washington, whereas Boston right now is firing on all cylinders. And, you know, I trust Tuukka Rask as the goaltender to be the best goaltender in that series, given that, you know, Washington has got two sort of inexperienced goaltenders trying to lead them through the first round in a very dangerous Boston Bruins team.
Yeah, well, first of all, Ilya Samsonov is also on that COVID protocol list. So I believe, I don't think they've announced it formally, but Vitek Vanacek, who's been pretty good for them, hasn't just been pretty good. He's been good for them. He's going to get the start in game one. And you mentioned
no playoff experience, though.
No, he doesn't have any playoff experience. Ilya Samsonov doesn't either. So
that's my point.
But Jeremy Swayman is a guy we got to talk about here. I don't know if you guys have been following what's happening with him. Alaska product. He has stolen the backup job from Yaroslav Halak. Tuukka Rask has been very solid, but obviously, you know, he's had some injuries this year. But Swayman is a guy that I think is going to be very interesting to watch. Like, to me, this is going to be a fascinating series for so many reasons. Like, Brad Marchand is one of the best playoff performers in the history of the game, and he always elevates his game. Boston, I think they've won, if I'm not mistaken, four or five of the games against Washington. It's been a little bit more even than some of the other series we've talked about. But that perfection line is still the one of the best lines, if not the best line, with Pastrnak and Patrice Bergeron. And, you know, you mentioned Taylor Hall, and he's been really solid on that second line, right? David Krejci, Craig Smith are the other guys on that second line. And, you know, even though the Bruins don't have Torrey Krug anymore, they don't have Zdeno Chara, and that's obviously a storyline for the Capitals in that, you know, Chara might, you know, reveal some secrets on the Bruins because nobody knows that team better. I don't know, you know, if that's necessarily going to be a huge factor, Dave, but
they've played each other 8 times. I don't think there's any secrets to be told
exactly at this point. Yeah, I think they both know that, you know, they're facing a really good team. But I give the advantage to the Bruins in net big time. Just look at Swayman. I think his save percentage is .945. Like, it's been an incredible story. If he played, you know, maybe 10 more games, he'd probably be in the rookie of the year conversation. But, you know, I still think this Bruins defense is pretty good. Matt Grzelcyk is a very underrated defenseman paired up with Charlie McAvoy, or he has been paired up with Charlie McAvoy a lot this year. And then bringing in a guy like Mike Riley, I thought Dave was really a good solid depth acquisition. We thought, you know, when we were previewing the trade deadline, the Jets might be in on Mike Riley. So yeah, I mean, this Bruins team maybe isn't as big of a juggernaut as they were a couple of years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final. But I still like the Bruins going into the series, because if you don't have Kuznetsov, that's your top line center. I don't think you have much chance, especially if that perfection line is producing like we know they can.
I would agree with you there, Dave. Your thoughts?
Well, I was going to say just quickly that, you know, the Washington has outscored Boston significantly, but what tends to win in the playoffs is good defense. And Boston has allowed, after the Islanders, you know, significantly fewer goals than Washington. 136 goals they've given up versus Washington's 163. Boston's goal differential is plus 32. I think that ultimately defense is going to be what does it for the Bruins. So I would give the edge to the Bruins. I think the Bruins are going to win in six.
There you go. Let's move on to the Central Division playoff series. These are our final two series to chat about on this morning's edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is probably the most one-sided on paper of the series in the playoffs, certainly in the American divisions. The Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators. The Hurricanes 6-2 on the year against Nashville. The Preds 2-5-1. It should be Carolina relatively handily, but of course that's why they, as the cliche goes, play the games. And in the series that we talked about with Frank Saravelli about an hour or so ago, Florida against Tampa Bay. Florida been the better of the two teams in that series this season. The Panthers 5-2-1 against the Lightning. The Lightning 3-5 when you factor in overtime and shootouts and all that jazz. So two very interesting series. That Panthers Lightning one, to me, as we said with Frank, is one of the most interesting series, I think, in all of these playoffs this season.
Yeah, because you've got the defending Stanley Cup champs against a team that had, you know, fairly low expectations and were challenging for the President's Trophy, right? Like, I think the Panthers were only 4 points back of the Avalanche. So, yeah, I think this is going to be an absolute slobber knocker between the Panthers and Lightning. And, you know, it's a great story because, you know, the Panthers, you know, were always that team that you're expecting to take the next step. And it starts with Alexander Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau. Like, both of these guys will be in the 2022 Olympics. Obviously, Barkov for Finland, Huberdeau for Canada. But, you know, it's a very deep team. And it seemed like all of the moves they made this year, guys, were the right ones, right? Like Patrick Hornquist, has really worked out nicely there. Radko Gudas on the back end. They bring in Sam Bennett. You know, he seems rejuvenated after coming over from Calgary. So I think it's going to absolutely be a very close series. It's going to be, I think, a high-scoring series. I think you're going to see some overtime games. And you mentioned Panthers were really good against the Lightning during the regular season. It's tough for me to really, you know, bet against or pick against the Lightning, but there is something about this Panthers team that I think is special. I think they've been, you know, that team that has played with house money all year long, and they've played that underdog role. This is a tough one. We'll have to come back to me on this one, but the Hurricanes and Predators, that series to me is as one-sided as it gets here. Like, the Hurricanes are absolutely a Stanley Cup contender. And I think, you know, the only way to me, Dave, for the Predators to win, UC Saros has had a very underrated year. He's been fantastic in net for the Predators. And we know that they're a great defensive team. Obviously, you know, Jets fans were hoping, you know, the team could pry Matthias Ekholm out of there. But, you know, led by Roman Josi, still top three, top five defensemen in the NHL. The only way you're going to beat the Hurricanes is if, you know, you steal a couple games and Saros stands on his head, because the Hurricanes are not only a great offensive team, they're also a great defensive team. Alex Nedeljkovic has been a very interesting story there. He's given them excellent goaltending. We're not sure if he's going to start or if it's going to be Mrazek in game one. But, yeah, that series to me, I'm going to go Hurricanes in five. I just don't think the Predators have close to enough firepower to be able to match the Hurricanes.
David?
What can I say? As you just summed up both series so beautifully that there's really not much to add at that point, other than I can give you a prediction. But
that's fine. Give me a prediction.
I would just be redundancy at this point. My man over there, my man on the bottom of the screen, just did a beautiful job. So,
you know what I mean, though, Dave? Like,
no, like, I agree with you.
Yeah, like Ryan Johansson, you know, I mean, Philip Forsberg, Callie York, like, they just don't, I don't see them going head to head. Like, they're obviously going to play the Hurricanes. I just don't see them making this a long series.
No, I agree with you. I'd be inclined to think it's going to be a Hurricanes in five series myself. And And with the Panthers one, Panthers and Lightning, I think it's going to be exciting. I think there's a novelty that I think is going to attract a lot of attention because, again, this is a year in the sense that, and we've talked about it throughout the course of our shows, everybody is – sorry, I just saw someone wants to wrap up with a shot of Seagram's. But everybody is tunnel vision, right? Everybody is so focused on what's in front of them, which is whether if you're in Winnipeg, it's the Winnipeg Jets. If you're in Calgary, it's the Flames, and so on and so forth. You're not really paying, and that's why I said, like, we don't really have a tremendous amount of insight because we're not watching, you know, the Jets play the Wild, the Jets play the Blues, the Jets play the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's a different scene. It's a different even your attention when you're watching it is not as significant as normal. So I guess this is one of those years where when there's an opportunity to draw your attention to a series that maybe you wouldn't normally give it, it will be a series like the Battle of Florida because you've got two teams, you've got such a unique story and such a unique opportunity. And again, with fans, maybe it'll make it a little more exciting. So I'm looking forward to that one. But I mean, Drew, all I could do, I was thinking about you and I was like, wow, Nikita Kucherov miraculously back for game one of the playoffs. How lucky is that?
And the NHL did their very deep investigation about his health to see if there was any shenanigans with LTIR. And lo and behold, amazing, the NHL found that it was perfectly kosher. Give me a bleeping break. I can't stand it. It drives me absolutely insane. I'm with you on this one. Every general manager in the NHL should be screaming bloody murder, but the NHL is, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, and it's absolutely 100% salary cap manipulation to the worst degree, and I can't believe that time and time again they just let it happen, and every other NHL team says, oh, I'm fine with that, even though it's complete nonsense. Sorry.
You know, how long has Kucherov been ready to go, Drew? I bet he's been ready to go for a month.
6 weeks? 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
My guess is 3 to 4 weeks. But all I knew is that all I had to do was give Drew a gentle little push, and he would just go down that hill without much resistance.
You know what?
Yeah, you are the puppet master, Manouk.
I was having a conversation with Rennie about this. It must be a couple months ago. And he went, you know, because I think I went on a Twitter rant or something, and he wanted to know my perspective, or he didn't sort of understand what my perspective was until we got deeper into it. I just think it's absolutely atrocious. I think it makes the NHL look like an absolute joke of a league to allow all these ridiculous salary cap manipulations and salary cap shenanigans time and time again. And they refuse to do anything about it. And I find it to be the most, as a fan, I find it to be offensive that they refuse to actually enforce a level playing field when instead all they do is just pretend like this is perfectly normal and that there's not like, oh, Nikita Kucherov magically needed surgery and magically waited until the day before the season started and magically was healthy in time for the playoffs where there's no salary cap anymore. Why even have a salary cap? Exactly right, T. Konopoli in the chat. Don't have a salary cap. Have a luxury tax. Let Tampa Bay spend whatever they want.
That would go over well. Could you imagine the rate with the Rangers, Leafs? That would not be a good system.
It's fine. When they didn't have a salary cap, the Rangers still didn't. They spent to the moon, and they still didn't do anything successfully. You can't just spend your way to a title.
See Bobby Holik, $9 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, look, you see it in baseball. Baseball has a luxury tax, and it's not always the same teams that are necessarily the juggernauts. Granted, the Los Angeles Dodgers have been a great team as of late, but they only won one World Series. That happened last year. The New York Yankees, obviously deep-pocketed New York Yankees, don't always win. So a luxury tax,
you can't from buy a championship.
You can't from a competitive balance perspective. Mm-hmm. A luxury tax is way more fair. If you're the Jets or if you're, you know, any of these teams that are trying to keep a team together, the Blackhawks, you know, maybe say 5-10 years ago when they were trying to keep their Stanley Cup team together, you think the Blackhawks didn't want there to be a luxury tax instead of a salary cap so that they could, they drafted and developed Tuvo Teravainen, instead of having to give them away for pennies on the dollar, they could have kept them open and kept their window open. Instead, because there's this luxury, because there's a salary cap and they misallocated their resources on a guy like Brent Seabrook, who obviously, you know, his career quickly fell off a ledge, or the Jets with Blake Wheeler, when who knows what he's going to look like in a couple of years. Put in a luxury tax instead of a salary cap. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Exactly. NBA has a salary cap where they have penalties if you go over a certain amount of dollars. You know, if you want to spend $300 million, that's great. You can. But guess what? Every dollar over $150 million actually costs you $2 or $3. So it makes teams really consider how to spend their money.
All I know is when I opened up this can of worms, I wasn't anticipating that. I thought, okay, well, we're about to wrap up the show. We're going to tell everyone to hit that subscribe. And I made a mistake. I opened up Pandora's box, and you can't
just pour it over my head. I'm on fire.
Yeah, well, Dave, I think Drew's going to like my prediction here, because I'm actually, you know, I've given it some thought here. I think this is as much of a coin flip. I'm talking obviously Panthers Lightning here, because we're talking about Kucherov. I'm going Panthers. I'm going to take the Panthers in six. And I realized, like, yeah, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. One of the main reasons why I'm going with the Panthers, because the Panthers obviously are very deep as well. They're going to miss Aaron Ekblad, obviously, right, guys? Mm-hmm. Like that's something that, you know, I don't think anybody saw coming. He's not going to be available for the playoffs. At least I haven't read anything he's done. So I don't know if I'm taking the Panthers to go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, but Victor Hedman has not looked like the same Victor Hedman. Like last year, Hedman, like that was Duncan Keith-esque, right? Like that was Drew Doughty-esque 2012, 2014. Like Hedman was, he was by far, you know, the best player in the playoffs. Like I'm not talking about forward or defense. I'm talking about any player. Hedman was the best player, in my opinion, for my money. And I don't have a lot of it, but I'm taking the Panthers here in six games. I think they've been a great story. And I think, you know, if you want to call it an upset, I think they're going to upset the Lightning.
Hedman's been playing injured. You can see that he's hurt. And as a result, I think, given all that, you know, you take Hedman out of Tampa Bay, you take Ekblad out of Florida, it's almost like a wash in terms of stud defensemen. Right now, the Panthers have been playing better hockey than the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I hope, you know, and Joel Quenneville. I mean, you can't emphasize enough how good Joel Quenneville is behind the bench for the Florida Panthers and how important he is. And so, I would agree with you. I hope, as my rant before demonstrated, I hope the Panthers win, because I can't stand this nonsense that the Lightning have legally been allowed to engage in this year. That's not on their fault. That's on Gary Bettman and the front and the NHL rules enforcement committee, which might as well just be a big joke. You know, player safety is a joke, and the salary cap and the enforcement thereof is also a joke. Mr. Manouk, final word to you. Let's wrap this show up and get outside. It's a bright, beautiful sunny Saturday morning.
Tampenson.
Thank you. And on that note, we remind everybody that coming up Wednesday night, the Illegal Curve post-game show after the Jets and the Oilers.
Tuesday. Don't forget about Tuesday.
I was going to mention Tuesday. Dave, at some point in time, might share some details about what's happening on Tuesday. He might not, so stay tuned for that if you're able to watch it. You know, Dave, it'll be on IllegalCurve.com and on our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve as well. Want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, our good friends at Boston Pizza. They have the perfect starting lineup tonight with the BP Game Day Meal Deal. Choose two of your favorite medium gourmet pizzas, an order of Boston's famous wings, or a triple order of Boston's famous wings, two dipping sauces, all for $54.99, available for takeout and delivery only at bostonpizza.com, or download the MyBP app. Always want to give a shout out to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Remember, hashtag ICOT pool. Stay tuned to our Twitter feed for when that will get launched anytime a playoff game goes into overtime. Linden Market Dental Center, our good friend Dr. Les Reich is there. Bernstein's Deli, home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Zappia Group Realty, our buddies Frank and Mauro Zappia. And Seagram's, of course. Seagram's our newest sponsor. So fireball for all at 11:40 in the morning, because you can't go wrong with that. Want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat today. It was certainly a lively group. So great to see so many of you. Again, we'll be back Tuesdays and Wednesday. Tuesday details to come. Wednesday post-game show when the final buzzer sounds. Anybody else I have to give a shout-out to? I think that's pretty much it. I think I've covered it all. Want to say thank you to Dave Manouk. Thank you to Ezra Ginsberg. You guys did a great job today. Frank Saravelli, Jeff Hamilton, they were our guests on this morning's show. We thank everybody. We remind you that if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.